Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Nobody likes a know-it-all who sits around talking about their genitalia.
Crossed over, if I never have a cent, I'd be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Roll call. Peon.
Here.
Tina.
Here.
Oh, she's here. Dan.
Here.
Well, he's here.
Who's here?
Weird. Good afternoon. Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon. Got several things we can talk about today. What's this I hear about?
Can we talk about a debate?
What's this I hear about a debate? I was going to ask you. Is that true?
Yes, it's tonight. Can we dedicate the first hour?
Yes.
To talk about it?
I mean, no. I have an idea, though. And tell me if you agree this would be a good idea. I think we all know what's going to happen tonight. This Jim Lehrer, they get this guy because he's a PBS guy. Mm-hmm. So he's not, you know, CNN, ABC, MSNBC. He's not Fox. He's PBS. Down the middle.
Yeah.
Not supposed to be biased or and whatever. And he asks the questions, which to me, kind of debate is that. And the public doesn't get to ask anything. And so it's structured. It's safe.
Yeah, how are we to know that they don't even already know the questions?
I'll bet you they do. What about this? What about, and tell me if you don't think this would be great, I'm for letting the candidates ask each other questions. Oh. What if Mitt Romney said, Mr. President, 4 years ago, you said you would, boom, 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 you didn't do it.
Explain they probably that. Never would agree to that.
But they should.
Well, they should do a lot of things.
And then and Barack Obama, President Obama, could say to Mitt Romney, let's talk about, and then whatever the hot button is, your tax situation or your Bain capital.
You
or
what.
Man, now you got something. Just hit them cold.
And give them just a time limit. They have this long to answer.
Yes, and
no
you
more.
Can't talk over each other. You got 60 seconds to tell me why you did or didn't do this and why it didn't work out the way you said it would, or why you think your idea, if you become president, what makes you think that's going to work and how you're going to make it work? And I think that would be a great debate. But
never happened.
I'm hoping that we're all stunned tonight by something nobody could see coming. Somebody loses it. Somebody does something brilliant. Somebody does something stupid.
It would be nice if that Jim Lehrer would say, you never answered the question. Because you know half the time they don't.
Right.
Oh, they walk, dance all around it.
It's softball.
It's I don't know why anybody
chooses
to watch
it. But you're right. If Lehrer would say, you didn't answer the question, I'm going to give you another 30 seconds to actually answer the question. But they won't do that because you know why? Because it would have to be spread out equally. If you jump one, you got to jump the other. Well, you were harder on him than you were on him. You said he didn't. So I think what we're going to learn is nothing. I hope I'm wrong. And I'd like to say I'm not going to watch it, but I will. Looking for something we didn't expect. Looking for something not planned, not scripted. Did I welcome everybody? I think I did, to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Wasn't it Reagan who said something about, remember they asked about age?
Yes, one of the greatest lines ever.
That couldn't have been scripted, could it?
I will not use my opponent's youth and inexperience against it. That was so brilliant. Oh, my goodness.
It was in his back pocket.
No, it was in his back pocket. Mm-hmm. He was just waiting to throw it out there. I got this zinger ready. I hope you give me a chance to use it. And he did. We'd be happy to take your calls on this the day. Now, will there be another presidential debate, or will it just be vice presidents? Do we know?
Who you ask?
I don't know.
Is there another one scheduled? Because usually there are two or three.
Yeah, don't they usually have like two or three of them?
I think so. We'll find out.
Because they have different formats.
Yeah, those of you who expect to tune in here and expect us to know something, no. We don't know any more than you do. Oh, my goodness. Burke segment, do we have anything? We have a very special announcement tomorrow, and I said next week, but it'll be tomorrow concerning this show. So you want to be here for that. It's a pretty big announcement, I think. We'll do that, you know, midway or toward the end of the show tomorrow. Any Burke segment, anything?
I just want to say hi to somebody real quick. I said hi last week to Tree Root. Remember that? It's one of the guys that works security detail where I bartend. And his partner, who's his security partner, wants to me to say hi to him.
This is like
well.
A homosexual partnership?
No, they work together.
Because when a guy
detail.
Says a guy's partner,
right.
says his partner to anymore,
no.
that could mean.
No, these know. Guys are... all men, but Ram Man. It's Ram Man and Tree Root. They are
that even sounds more gay.
Big listeners, and they work security for you. They take care of all of us bartenders downtown. So just say hi to them.
What does that mean? Take care of you? Do you threaten as a bartender?
Well, no. I mean, sometimes people get out of. Oh, I've seen some things go down.
I think I know what you're talking about. It's women who can't take no for an answer.
Oh, right. They want to get behind the bar and start then, making out with
and
me,
and
stuff.
You have to say no means no.
So I go Ram
and that's
Man,
when
Tree
Root and Ram Man.
Yeah,
step
get over here
and say, Missy, you need to step outside and cool off.
Yes,
I'm okay. a married man.
Yeah,
well, I don't go for that.
And the one time that chick dumped her drink right in my ice well, I had to boot her out. I had to. Get Ram Man and Tree Root to help me out with that.
Yeah.
Women
you
got
had to
out of
have
control.
Two men help you with a woman?
Well, yeah. She was out of control.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that was all I had.
Burke segment? Anybody? Nobody?
No.
Nothing. Burke segment is officially closed. We will take your calls 314-969-KTRS, toll free 888-550-KTRS. Do you know who Katherine Jenkins is?
Why does that name sound familiar?
I know that when I say who it is, you'll know, oh, now I know who it is.
Mm-mm.
She was a contestant on Dancing with the Stars. She's an opera singer. She's the
blonde. Oh, yeah, really pretty.
Really cute.
No, not just really pretty. She was on last night, and she sang a duet with Placido Domingo. I have decided, this is a, Bruce, give me a timpani roll. This is a giant announcement. This is a huge announcement. Decided, Katherine Jenkins may very possibly be the most beautiful woman in the world.
Whoa!
I'm not kidding.
All
is
right.
Is she on Dancing with the Stars again?
She was on last night to sing.
I can't watch.
She's not a contestant.
Right, she's not a dancer.
I can't
she
watch
sang
that show.
With
show,
Placido Domingo. No,
what's
no.
her name again? I
Katherine Jenkins, the most beautiful woman I have ever looked at. I cannot stop looking at her. And even my wife, normally, my wife will say something like if I go, oh, look how beautiful she is. Well, she hasn't had kids yet. Wait till she has kids. That's what women say. Wait till she has kids.
Oh, man.
She even, my wife even said,
you are right.
I think she's the prettiest woman I've ever seen in my life.
She is up there. No, absolutely.
I know she's not a model or
she's
she doesn't
an opera
want to
singer.
Be a movie star.
Wow, wow, wee, wow.
I mean, drop dead.
Oh, look at that.
Tongue
picture.
On the floor,
holy
gorgeous.
Cow.
And sings opera. When I think of an opera singer, you know what I think of? 380-pound woman.
Mm-hmm. With those pigtails sticking out of the side.
Exactly.
I'm going to have to do some more research on her later on tonight.
Well, Katherine Jenkins.
Oh, later on tonight alone?
Yes.
Now,
alone time.
I don't get opera, but I think I would go to an opera just to look at her.
She's
and suffer,
gorgeous.
Suffer through the music just to look at her.
Mm.
Spectacular.
Is she a good dancer?
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
Very good.
314-969-KTRS, toll free 888-550-KTRS. Here's Randy. Hello, Randy.
Hey, I was calling about the debate topic you guys were talking about.
Do you agree with me that they should be able to ask each other questions?
Well,
wouldn't that be great?
But every debate I've ever seen, and they have their agenda, and they've memorized about 30 lines, and that's all. You could ask them what day it is. They're not going to. They're going to go back to their agenda and march right down Main Street with it.
Oh, they have standard answers. No matter what the question is,
no matter what
they're going.
Ask,
oh,
they're
just use this.
They've got their answers, and that's. And you can watch Meet the Press, and they got the Democratic and/or Republican pundits, they do the same thing.
I've actually seen,
and that's exactly what they say.
And I've actually seen situations where, let's say, either Romney or President Obama would be on Face the Nation, Meet the Press, and they'll answer and they'll use a phrase that seems to be kind of off the cuff. And then you go watch them in another interview, and they use the same exact phrase.
Oh, yeah.
Like they just kind of thought of it as they're sitting there. No, you're right. Mm-hmm. They don't get off script.
But back when the Reagan days, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think he got elected. He endeared himself to the people because he was off the cuff.
He was quick on his feet.
The same as Bill Clinton.
And Bill Clinton's the same way.
Yeah.
They could take a punch verbally and return it even better, and they didn't have to dance around a squirm. They had a response, and it was usually a pretty good one.
But either one of these guys, you're not going to get one answer from either one of them.
No.
You may as well read the paper today, and that's what you're going to be told tonight.
I could not agree more. I don't even know why I think I have to watch it, but I'm going to watch it.
Because you're hoping one of them will
lose their
cool.
Somebody will fall down or something.
Because you want to see Richard Nixon in 1960.
you know what I was thinking? If there's such a thing as a sweat pill, if one of them could slip it in the other one's water and they just start sweating like a pig, boom, the other one wins.
I told Frank yesterday off the air, they have the full Richard Nixon, John Kennedy debate on YouTube, the full hour long.
Really?
I want to watch that.
It's worth watching. Randy, thank you for the call.
You bet.
And there are three presidential debates.
Yeah. Ooh.
Don't the League of Women Voters have one?
I think so.
When's the next one? Do we know?
No.
Well, somebody knows because it's not that. My goodness, we're, 5 weeks till the election?
Yeah, it's not that far.
Thank goodness. Pretty soon. Okay, I'd like to, if I could, if you don't mind, I want to talk about opera and related music for a second because of this Katherine Jenkins. The other person that I saw after I saw Katherine Jenkins last night, on some show this morning, I saw this Jackie Ivanko, this little girl who sings like a grown woman.
Yeah.
Now, I think this is actually a pretty good impression. I don't get music that is beautiful, and you can tell the voices are beautiful, but even when they're singing in English, and you know it's in English, you cannot understand one word they sing. I'm going to give you an example. Jackie Ivanko was on this morning. And here's my impression of Jackie Ivanko, and she's wonderful, she's cute, she's a great singer, but that kind of singing, kind of like opera, I don't get it. And here's an example. Here's Jackie Ivanko singing a song that's an English song, and every word is English. And by the way, you'll pick up an occasional word like love or me, but there... Will you be with me to close the
wedding?
What did I say? Nobody knows.
You don't really need to know the
words. Now, track 2, Jackie Ivanko. You guys are my greatest good friend today when we meet to the top of your
brother.
Yeah! What? I would love if once somebody would jump up and go, what? Because you cannot understand. Now, the Placido Domingo type guys, opera, kind of the same way. In English, with a deeper voice, night is the time when you could be to me, dark to the magic. What'd he say? Nothing.
Do they ever sing in English?
That is English. Here, you know that Music of the Night thing, Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah.
I've never...
Most of it is in Italian, though. No.
Music of the Night has been recorded in English. I've never understood the word. Here's what it sounds like to me. What? I've never known the word. What are the words?
Hey! What? Hey!
What?
Hey!
What?
Stop it. Stop it.
What are the words of Music of the Night?
I have no idea.
I rest my case. Why couldn't somebody sing it? And let's say the words are, hold me, touch me, take me to your home, please feel me, feed me, give me a big full can of peas. Yeah.
Wow.
Why couldn't you do it where you can, like, what if those are the words?
pretty good song.
Thank you. Maybe those are the words to Music of the Night.
Or Tommy by The Who.
Oh, yeah. No,
touch me, feel me.
Yeah, outside of that, you've never known. One last thing, and then we'll get to our first guest. He's not really a guest. He's a part of the show. I believe it's Sunday night. I made a note. Let me check. The Discovery Channel. This coming Sunday night at 8 o'clock our time, I'm pretty sure. They're going to show you the footage where they crashed a 727. Have you been watching this on the news?
No.
They took a 727 up, and they deliberately crashed it in the desert. Now, there were six crew members. They, like two or three at a time, bailed out just before the crash, and a remote control pilot took it at the last part of the descent into the desert. And the plane...
To see
what happens in... There are cameras all over the plane.
The plane crash.
Here's the interesting... thing that you'll take away from this, I guess at the end you'd have to call it a drone because there's no real pilot on board, but it's a real 727. They said you are least likely to survive, and this is based on all the impact data and all the stuff in there and the computer readings. The people most likely to die are the first class passengers.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah, you think about it, because you're up close to the...
They said the further you are to the back of the plane, and if you think about it, you're going to probably crash...
Nose first.
Nose first, or even slightly nose first, so all the impact is going to hit front to back and sort of dissipate as it goes back.
The plane never falls tail first. I mean, it would have to be in a...
Yeah, normally the tail section stays
together. So you want to start asking for the back row, the very back seat in an airplane, because you're more likely to survive. I understand we have Jim Saffo from Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Where's the boss?
What's going on? He's out of town at a meeting. He's probably working his tail off right now at a meeting or something.
Did he fly?
Speaking of seats and chairs,
yeah.
I'm up in his office in his chair. My God, this thing fits good.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, don't get used to it.
I'm like remodeling while he's gone, you think?
Does he know that you're in his office?
He's listening. That's why I said it.
What's going on today, guys?
We've been busy around here.
Yes, what's going on? I'll tell you. First of all, did he fly first class, do you know, wherever he went? Because you just heard, I guess.
No, I think he was in the back seat.
Good. Back of the plane is the best place to be. Now, let's think of something you can do while you're there in his office. Have somebody, or when's he coming back? Do you know, late today?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
All right, you got the rest of the day to go down to Walgreens or somewhere and get some condoms.
This is a family show, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
Ain't this rated PG?
Toss a couple of them in his wastebasket. Throw a little small bottle of Seagram's or something in there that's just got a couple of drops left in it.
I always like when you take the drawers and turn them upside down.
Oh, that's a good one.
I wouldn't do that to my buddy. That's my body.
That is a good one.
That's it.
And then get some coffee. Is his chair leather or cloth?
Leather.
Doesn't work then.
Or fake vomit.
Yes, fake vomit. Fake vomit.
Let's talk about some truck sales. Do you know?
He wrote those down.
Wow.
Do you know that we were number one in truck sales in the St. Louis zone for Chevrolet?
And do you know why? AM and the PMers?
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I kind of think that, Frank, I might have had a little something to do with it.
Okay, think that.
Wow. Okay. Hey, and we also were number one last month, too. That's 2 months in a row we've been number one. That's a good thing. We've been really busy.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you a question. Somebody, a friend of mine who has an Avalanche, told me they're not going to make the Avalanche anymore. Is that true?
This is the last year.
Now, what do you think happened there?
I don't know. Everybody that has them loves them.
And by the way, Chevy never really promoted the Avalanche. Count the times you've seen an Avalanche commercial on television, and I never understood that.
No.
I think also that we are totally redesigning the Colorado, and it looks a lot like the Avalanche, and it's bigger than the usual Colorados, and I think they're going to try to have that take its place.
And maybe it just wasn't something that sometimes vehicles are misunderstood, and they didn't really understand what the Avalanche was. Is it a truck? Is it a car?
Yeah, right, SUV or whatever.
Yeah, but you know, my take on the Avalanche was always, and a good friend of mine has one, and I've been in it many times. It's like it's like a really comfortable big four-wheel drive car with the world's largest trunk.
Right, right. It's a It's a SUV with a pickup bed.
You bet. You bet. Well, he was right. He was right. He said this is the last year, and you confirmed that.
Yeah.
What else do we need to let people know?
I do need to let you know that Whitney Antone, she's the manager of Charlie Gito's downtown. She came out and bought a new Equinox from us. Charlie Gito's a very, very good friend of mine and Johnny's, and his granddaughter Suzanne, and they send us a lot of the employees from the Gito's restaurant. And I'd like to thank him for that and thank Whitney for coming out and buying a Johnny Londoff Chevrolet.
Well, thank you, Whitney. Does she listen?
Yes, she does.
All right,
yes,
then, we can thank her. Good for her.
Of course. They're all AM and PM listeners.
All right. Because of that, I will force myself to go into Charlie Gito's. Actually, I don't have to force myself. It's a great restaurant.
Great restaurant.
All right. What else?
That's about it. We still got Silverados, $10,000 off.
Okay.
We got Equinoxes, 20,800 on the LS model.
Whoa.
And we are selling them.
Well, good for you. All we need is a phone number and where you're located.
837-1800. We're at 270 in Washington Elizabeth, 24/7, 365 days a year at Londoff.com.
And for those who didn't hear, Jim, that's WARSHINGT, Washington.
Washington Avenue.
You're open late tonight. We're going to send you some business.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Bye.
Jim Sappho, truck manager. Johnny Londoff, Chevrolet. We take a break. We come right back. I promise if you want to dial us up, 314-969-KTRS or toll free, 888-550-KTRS. This is the Big 550.
This is the filthy version.
Oh, yeah.
They pay paradise and put up an effing lot.
Got the F-word in?
Yeah.
Is it coming up?
Don't it always seem to go? But you don't know what you got till it's gone. It'd be a paradise, put up a fucking lie.
Oh, my goodness. Stop this right here. Put up effing
an
lot.
Effing lot. Yeah. I've never even seen an effing
we did
lot
not
before.
Alter. Who's this artist?
No. This is... It's the remake of, who sang it originally?
Joni Mitchell?
Big Yellow Taxi? Mitchell? This is the Counting Crows version. Counting Crows?
Yeah, wasn't Joni Mitchell the original?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warning. This has not been altered or doctored. This is as you would buy it in the store. Counting Crows. These kids today,
they just
can't leave well
filth,
enough alone.
Filth.
Put up effing love.
Got till it's gone. It'd be a paradise. Put up a fucking line.
Oh my goodness. Clear as bell.
Wow.
Crystal clear.
Man.
Just as we approach the holiday season and we have to hear Brenda Lee and the effing pie.
Later we'll have some fucking pie.
Unbelievable.
Now that really does.
Alright. Light these phones up. It's a slow day. The only even chance that this show can be saved is you listening, calling in 314-969-KTRS, toll-free, 888-550-KTRS. I got a great thing you can do if the opportunity presents itself, and I did it yesterday. I had a doctor's appointment yesterday. My appointment was for 11 o'clock, and they were running late, and it was 20 minutes after 11 when this young, attractive woman came out. You know, they come out and they've got like a clipboard and they call your name and then you get up and you walk back. And again, it was 20 minutes
to the
after,
second waiting room. Is that where you're
yes,
just
to the
getting...
second waiting room. So it was 20 minutes after the scheduled time. And she says to me, "I'm sorry about your wait." And I said, "Well, I can't help it. I'm 230 and I've tried." And the look on her face, I said, "I'd like to drop 20 or 25 pounds. And I did it real, like my feelings had been hurt. She looked like she wanted to just start crying. She felt so bad. And I let it just sort of burn for a while. And I said, "You know, I've been down to like 200, 210. I said, she says, oh my goodness. She says, I said, I know. Just kidding. Sorry about your weight. So use that if you get a chance. Let's go to Bill. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Hi, Frank.
What's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. I'm aiming the PM.
Well, thank you.
Hallelujah. Wanted to talk to you about your opera singers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the main reason, well, there are a number of things that's causing the problem, but the main reason is bad teaching.
Now, what do you mean?
I mean, well, for one thing, the colleges now, if a person goes to college, they're taught a number of songs for a semester.
Opera songs?
Well, any kind of songs, in foreign languages.
Okay.
Okay. They're not paying any attention on how to cultivate that voice. They just want to get those people through those songs.
You mean those people, these are students who yes. are singing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you an opera singer?
I used to be.
Get out of here. Wow. You know, when I think of our audience, I don't picture opera singers.
Well, I was a 3-time winner of the Metropolitan Opera Auditions.
Stop it!
I am a graduate of the apprentice program, the Zurich Opera.
In your opinion, who's the best living male opera singer right now?
Well, he's retired, but a fellow by the name of Carlo Bergonzi.
See, this guy knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Carlo Bergonzi. Never heard of him, but of course I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, he was a little bit before Corelli, and they were both before Pavarotti. Now,
Pavarotti?
Yeah, that's Pavarotti, the correct yeah. pronunciation.
Pardon?
I'm sorry, I'm telling Peon that's the correct pronunciation.
Well, of course it is.
Of course, I knew that. Of course it is. Have you seen this Catherine Jenkins?
No, but I'm going to...
Oh!
Can I get her on my computer?
Yeah, on YouTube and type in, search Catherine Jenkins.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness, is she beautiful.
Well, here's the thing. I remember singing in Europe that every woman I sang with outweighed me by 30 pounds.
Yeah, that's what I said. You think of an opera singer, you think of a great... And men, too. I think of a big... who was the big famous... Pavarotti?
Yeah,
Lars Melchior was even bigger.
Wow. Now, do you still sing?
No.
Now, you say that like you couldn't if you tried.
Well, I could if I tried, but let's put it this way. I'm not in shape. And
could you just pick out, like, 10 seconds of anything and give us, what are you, a baritone?
Yeah.
Could you just give us a tiny piece of anything?
Cortigiani, Vielorazza, Donata.
Wow! All right, there's all the proof I
got.
That's all. Now, what did that mean, what you just said?
Well, that was from Rigoletto.
I recognize that.
Rigoletto.
Oh, immediately, I thought, that's Rigoletto. Now, let me ask you this. What is the deal in opera where, and maybe this is just my imagination or my own perception of it, but it seems to me that a lot of the performance and the singing is not just singing. And I give an example. It's that happy... turning to sad, to crying while you're singing, like,
You're talking about Barbara Seville, which is a comedy.
Okay,
that's why they're laughing.
Okay. And what are they laughing at in that?
Well, with him, he's telling you that he is the factotum of the whole town. He does everything. He handles people's rumors. He cuts hair. He sets wigs. He is in all kinds of intrigue and everything else, and he's spending about 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, introducing himself to the whole audience. That's what he's doing.
Okay, do you not agree, though, that if someone would come out in this country and do that same opera, but in English, so that we'd know, oh, he's telling a story about a guy, it would be so much more enjoyable to us. Why do you never see that?
Yeah. All you have to do next spring... go to opera theater where all of their operas are in English.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Are you there?
I'm there.
Opera Theater of St. Louis is all in English.
Well, that's a great, I'm serious, that's a great thing to know, because I went last year with some friends to an out-in-the-park kind of opera thing. I had no idea what I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
I knew they had good voices. I could tell that, but I didn't have a clue. What's he laughing at?
Think back, Frank. Remember Mario Lanza?
Yes.
Sure.
Mario understood everything he sang.
Okay. Good point. Well, you know, you're our first opera singer that I know of.
Yeah, what are you listening to this show for?
Yeah, why would you listen to
your
something
culture.
As juvenile as this?
Opera covers a lot of different territory.
Well, it must. Now, what do you do now?
Oh, I'm retired.
Was this your full-time profession, an opera
singer? Well, after I retired from the stage, I taught for a while. I taught down at Southern Illinois University. I have a master's in voice.
Let me ask you this. Is opera like so many other things in the world of the performing arts where you don't really make a lot of money?
Well, some people do. Most people don't.
It's you probably make more teaching than performing.
Well, that's why a lot of opera singers teach.
Well, and it's like anything else. You look at the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. Look at those people, how good they are. They don't make a fortune.
They all have full-time jobs. Yeah.
They're paid pretty well.
Are they?
Yes.
So they would make more than you'd make even if you're singing at the Metropolitan. Is Metropolitan Opera somewhere people sing regularly on a regular basis, or do you just do shows there from time to time?
Well, you get a contract. Maybe you'll get a contract for one show. Maybe you'll get a contract for so many performances.
What's the most you ever made, either for a show or in a year, as an opera singer?
Oh, gee.
You got to have an idea what you made average in a year singing opera.
Usually it was augmented by something else. Just by singing, I'd say about $10,000.
What?
That's about it.
Ooh. That's an awful lot of training
for
no money. That's a lot of training for not much
money.
Do you
do lessons and stuff?
I used to. I'm going to be 80 years old, so it's
well, you don't sound 80 years old. Oh, my goodness. You sound like you're 50.
Well, I feel like I'm 50, too, but it's something that you don't go into it. Well, you go into it with the idea that someday you're going to be rich and famous, but when it doesn't happen, you're not that
disappointed.
Just like radio.
Yes.
Yeah,
just like radio, except for the not disappointed part. Radio
but,
people are very
disappointed. You spend a lot of time waiting for jobs, let's put it that way.
Yeah, so it's no different than acting or
any other
performance job. Well, I'm glad you called. Call anytime. You will be our official technical advisor when it comes to opera.
Okay.
All right, Bill.
Okay, Frank.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, bye-bye.
What a great voice that guy
has. Yeah.
He's no almost
way.
80.
Almost 80. That's crazy.
Here's the voice of someone almost 80 who listens to the other AM station.
Well, Frank, I was an opera... Excuse me. An opera singer.
And then there's this guy. This is what happens to you when you're AM and the PM.
Fountain
you sound
of
like
you.
Bill. Fountain of you. The radio fountain of you. Let's bring Betty in here. Hello, Betty.
Good afternoon. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. My little token isn't nearly as classy as Bill's.
That's
but
all right.
I had a little addition that I heard about from Tina's Wood Report yesterday, the Paris Hilton story.
Okay.
The reason her boyfriend, and I have another thing too, the reason her boyfriend got into a fight is because she was making out with another girl.
I don't believe that for a minute. That would mean,
wait a minute.
That would mean that she's loose and has no morals.
What?
That's crazy. I know.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I have, that old people station needs to be charged with a little plagiarism. I was listening to the ball game the other night, and this guy came on and did a commercial, and he tried to make himself sound like Johnny Londo. He went, "Are you kidding me?
Come on."
Whoa. Yeah.
We're kind of used to it.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
People
all
stealing
the,
from
all
us.
All the good ones.
Well, thanks for reporting that to us, Betty.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Betty, how old are you?
64.
Favorite age.
Yeah. She sounds young, too.
She sounds 30. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you.
We have a new slogan, KTRS, the Radio Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, I like it.
40-year-olds sound like they're 20. 20-year-olds sound 10. And 80-year-olds, you heard him, sound 50. Schaefer. I went to Schaefer yesterday. Because this is the weirdest thing. My car got hail damage, but the hail damage is only on the right rubber molding at the base of the right windows. Not on the car, not on the left side, not on the top. Somehow or other, I look down the side of my car, and it looks like some kids with BB guns just put dents in the rubber molding at the base of the window. And I can't stand looking at it because I'm weird like that. I don't like dents in cars, and I don't want dents in the rubber molding. So I went into Schaefer, and John was his name at Ellisville, and he came out, and he looked at it, and he said, okay, he said, you're going to need two full strips, the bottom of the back window, the bottom of the front window, blah, 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 $167. They're going to do it next Wednesday. Now, most people who contact Schaefer are contacting Schaefer for bigger jobs than that. And this is certainly not going to be something I'm going to turn into insurance. I just can't stand looking at dents and dings and dimples in a car, even if it's on the rubber molding. So we're going to get that taken care of. Now, you will probably contact Schaefer for something much bigger. In an accident, backed into a pole. Maybe you have a teenager who's just learning to drive. Get ready if you do. Stuff's going to happen. S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. This is where you want that vehicle to go, and this is what you want to tell the insurance company. You say, look, it's my call, And if they don't suggest it first, which they very well might, they may say, if you don't mind, we'd like for this to go to Schaefer. You know what that tells me? You got yourself a good insurance company. If not, you make the call. 7 locations. You will not be disappointed. These people do fantastic work. And the service to you goes far above and beyond just handing you over a vehicle that you can't even tell was ever wrecked, because the service they provide also includes helping you get it to them, get it back home, get a rental car if you need it, bringing you the rental car, helping you with the insurance, the paperwork. You get the idea. Schaefer, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R, Schaefer Auto Body Centers.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that?
Proud to say that 2 days ago, my wife rescued 2 dogs.
Oh, nice.
Yellow Labs. No, they're golden retrievers, she said. I'll tell that story after I introduced, it's not past tense yet, the host of our next segment, Dr. Doug Pernikoff of the Clarkson Wilson Veterinary Clinic. And he is brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. Here's the way this works, and I see the phones are already ringing, but I'll give you the numbers anyway. First on the screen, first come, first served. You can ask just about any question you want of Dr. Doug about your pet. He is not a behavioralist, but he still gets some of those questions anyway. Here are the numbers, 314-969-KTRS, or toll-free, 888-550 KTRS. Light him up, and here he is, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, 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 how is everybody?
Great, doctor, how are you?
I am AM in the PM.
So I'll tell you my story. My wife came home, actually it was yesterday, and she was all excited and happy because she was driving down, I think it was the road that runs in front of Babbler State Park, and there were 2 beautiful golden retrievers that were obviously had gotten away from somebody, and they were they were buddies, and they were traveling together, and she could tell they were just kind of running, didn't know where they were going, just kind of. So she pulls over, opened the car door, and called them, and they came and just jumped in the car.
Wow.
I mean, like it's like they were saying, oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness somebody saved us. So they
if she whistled for me, I'd come and jump in the car as well.
Oh, that's nice. She'd love to know that you said that. So their tags had a phone number on them. So she calls the number, and as soon as the woman answers the phone, her first words were, please tell me you're calling to say you found our dogs.
Oh.
And my wife says, I do have your dogs. She said, oh, my goodness. Here's where our house is. And it was, you know, down the road a little bit. She said, go down here, look to the right. I'll be standing in the driveway. So she pulls in. And I can imagine, well, I've been there. We've had a dog get away. How relieved you are that you didn't, you know, see the dog's body on the side of the road, or it got away, or somebody kidnapped it or whatever. So she returned the dog. But I could sort of tell, too, that deep down, she almost was kind of hoping maybe we'd have to keep them, because we like dogs.
And you like that kind of dog, too.
Yeah, I like almost all dogs, but we're getting closer and closer to being due for a dog, like a real dog. So that's our dog-saving story. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Do you have any big story, that anything big happened to you lately that we need to know about?
No, not really. Just enjoying our clinic and having fun and trying to do crazy things. I've been trying to help any way I can.
I saw a guy on TV last night who has a tiger, one of these people who has a pet Bengal tiger. And they had video of him jumping in a pool, had a swimming pool, and the tiger would dive in on his back behind him. Oh. I didn't think cats could swim. Can tigers swim?
Oh, yeah. Tigers are great swimmers.
Really? Some house cats can like water, too, and they'll swim.
Yeah, mine used to play.
I'm sorry?
I'm not a cat person. I didn't know they could swim.
Oh, yeah, they love it. They're really good swimmers.
Are you ready for some calls?
I sure am.
All right, one more time, the phone numbers, and that's your last chance, folks. 314-969-KTRS. Toll-free, 888-550-KTRS. We start with Sean. Sean, oh, I dumped him. Hold it. You there, doctor?
I'm still here.
Okay, Sean, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. First, I want to say how much I appreciate and commend you for all the rescue work you do. It's fantastic.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about Thank Sean?
You.
can I say something real quickly? And
you have to ask Sean. It's his time. Ask Sean if you can say something.
You know, if Frank allows it, then I have to say I have to allow it.
Okay, go ahead, Doctor.
Just that it's important that people have their animals microchipped. So in the event that they do lose an animal, those microchips are pretty universal now, and you can go to most any veterinary clinic, and they will have the ability to read those chips. And often we can find an animal that's lost. We can find the owner within hours or sooner.
Let me ask you a question. So, why would an owner ever not microchip a pet? It seems to me like it's a no-brainer.
I agree with you. I mean, it's not that big of an expense, and it's forever, and it's a benign process, very simple, like giving a shot.
And can you change the information on it? Like if you give the dog to somebody else, can you change the chip information and put another chip in?
You don't change the information, but you can change the documentation that connects the animal to an owner. So that's a computer-based opportunity. And you could, there are some people who have actually put in a second microchip when they recovered a dog because they wanted to start over. So like I said, it's just the little device is just microscopic. You just put it in with an injection like giving a shot. Okay. So yeah, that's you're right. It's absolutely important. There's no reason not to do it.
All right, Sean, what's your question?
Well, we just gave the last HeartGuard and Frontline application to our dog, and he's a little over 100 pounds. And I was just wondering what you thought of some of these combination medications so that we don't have to buy two prescriptions of HeartGuard and one of Frontline anymore, and if there are any of them that you prefer over the others.
Well, I try not to put specific suggestions online because every veterinarian has their own kind of cadre of products. We particularly, I can speak for our clinic, we do like the HeartGuard and the Frontline combination. The HeartGuard's a treat, so that's no big deal, and it also supports anti-parasite medication. And the Frontline is once a month. It's just a topical, so I don't see how that could be possibly a very difficult process. There are some new products out that we have. Vectra is another one. And you can just talk to your vet about what's good. There's also a six-month heartworm shot that's come back out called ProHeart, and not every veterinary clinic's going to have that, but if that's important to you, you don't want to mess around with a monthly chewy, then that's an option for you as well. Okay?
All right, Sean.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Sean.
Thank you for the call. And this should be Ken. Ken, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug, AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, I was just kind of curious. Do you recommend having the dew claws removed on a dog? A lot of show dogs have them removed.
This came up a couple weeks ago.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. We do suggest removing rear dew claws. They tend to be kind of dangly and non-supportive, and they tend to get caught and ripped. And invariably, it happens after hours, so you end up at the emergency clinic spending a ridiculous amount of money for something you could have taken care of.
Doctor, what happened to your phone, Doctor? It just went south on us. Are you on a cell phone?
I don't know. I'm talking. Am I there?
No, that's better. I don't know what you did there.
Okay, I don't know. I'm inside a building. That could be part of the problem.
It's better.
But anyway, so yeah, dew claws and the rear leg dew claws, again, if you didn't hear this, should be removed, I think, in most cases. The front ones we don't do, just nonchalantly. There's no reason to do those if they're hooked on real tight, because it's like an amputation. So I try not to do that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You know, that dew claw, that's that weird claw that's like up on their leg. It's almost like something from a prehistoric thing that shouldn't be there anymore. What's the point of that thing?
Well, it probably used to, their stature may have been such that it used to support weight, and now it doesn't, because you know how the dogs kind of stand up on their toes. So I'm guessing that in a earlier life form, it had more function that way and support.
Like when you have a tooth that comes out of the side of your gum.
Yeah.
Just looks weird. Let's go to, let me make sure.
Oh, you know my wife. Okay.
Now, how come I have a light on? I have a light on that I shouldn't have on. Hold on here. I've got to figure this out. Let's get rid of this. What am I doing here? Dan had somebody locked up. All right, let's go to Brian. Brian, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. I got a question for you. I got
Go for it.
We have a Pomeranian mix, and we rescued her from a breeder pound thing. But, you know, like at nighttime when we lay down, she starts chewing on her feet. I mean, she don't chew them up or nothing where they, you know, she walks fine and everything. But she just puts her foot in her mouth and, like, chews on it and just howls and howls and howls. I mean,
you know, that's not a terribly uncommon kind of presentation. And what you want to do is make sure, number one, that there aren't any open lesions from chewing too hard.
Doctor, doc, whatever you're doing, your phone's going bad again. You moved or turned.
I'm going to try to move outside as I'm talking to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, anyway, there are products that that are antihistamines that might be useful. And you could talk to a veterinarian about offering those products. And the other thing is you want to make sure that you don't develop what's called a yeast infection between those those toes.
Oh.
Is that better, by the way?
That's a little better. That's a little better.
Okay. Yeah. So, there's a lot of good reasons for that. In other cases,
animal
you
toes.
Can't have an animal that, just like a human that chews their nails, you can't have an animal that kind of gets into a habit of just, you know, chewing on their feet, especially if you're pretty sure that it's very specific to a certain time of day or something when he relaxes. There might be consideration as well. Partially behavioral.
Brian, thank you for the call. Doctor, this is not a good phone. Are you on a cordless phone? What are we doing?
I got my cell phone. I don't have a landline. How's this?
Normally, it's real clean. It kind of comes and goes. Can camels get that yeast thing between their toes? Can you have yeast camel toe?
I would imagine so, right?
Yeah. That's a legitimate question. If anybody had a camel as a pet. Let's see if we can keep a clean line long enough to talk to at least Barb, maybe one other one after that. Barb, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. I am Amy in the PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
I have two questions if you have time. The first one is a general question. I have two dogs that are, one's 15, the other's 16. Both of them have lipomas.
Okay.
What is that? What is that?
It's like
lipomas are little fatty tumors. They can get very large, and they're totally benign. And the only reason I would suggest removing them is if the animal has them located someplace that is impacting his ability to walk or his gait. But you can take those off, and then 2 months later, you'll have a bunch more. So I don't chase them unless they're inordinately large or they're in a weird position.
Well, here's my question. They both have them, and they're large, and I'm told that the risk of doing the surgery outweighs probably the benefit because they probably will come back, and also because the dogs are older, they may not survive the surgery. And they don't seem to bother them, but I'm just kind of curious. What causes them? And, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards maybe something related to the food since both of them have them. I've had other dogs.
No. They're so common. They probably have a genetic basis. And also, with age, we get these little growths, even ourselves, right? And what happens is our bodies usually the immune system is effective at kind of weeding away strange cells. But as we get older, a lot of cancers are present, we believe, because the body doesn't recognize those cells as abnormal, so they tend to grow and proliferate. And but in this case, again, the lipomas are, if you know for sure they're lipomas, they're absolutely benign. And doing surgery on a 15- or 16-year-old dog certainly imposes a little bit more risk, but we do them all the time, and your veterinarian should be able to handle those kind of surgeries. Are pretty quick and simple as well.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barb. From Barb to Marcy. Marcy, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. I'm AM and PM.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi. Okay, I have had cats my entire life. The one that I have now, he's about 3 years old. And you know how they bring little presents home to you, little mice and little birds? This one, I've never seen it before, brings them home, puts them in the bathtub, chases them around, and eats every single bit. There is nothing left but a couple tubs of hair and a spleen. That's all.
Well,
the head's gone, the eye's gone, everything.
Okay. And what's your question?
What I want to know is, like, is this normal, or is it bad for him, or...
Yeah. No, it's absolutely normal. These animals are carnivores. They eat meat. In the wild, in evolution, they would be hunting and trapping these animals. We don't need to feed them mice because we feed them cat food.
Did she say did she say it leaves its spleen? Is that what you said?
Spleen. Always the spleen.
How does that really make
a lot of sense to me because the spleen's a nice, chewy, bloody organ.
Stop it. I'm hungry. Nice, chewy, and bloody.
Organ.
How in the world does the cat know to leave the spleen?
So I'm just wondering if this is safe.
Well, here's where the safety issue comes to play. In the event that these mice had been exposed to one of the rat or mouse poisons, those are highly toxic to our cats and our dogs. So a lot of times these mice are exposed because they're weak and they're coming out of a hiding place under the influence of the poison. So if you know that you don't use those around your house and you're in an area, you want to be careful that you don't have that kind of exposure in the garage, the basement, or your neighbors, because that would be where you would have concern for your animal.
So the rabbits, he brought home a crow one time.
Yeah, those critters aren't going to be the problem.
Except the beak. He left me the beak. But he usually just leaves the little baby mice, but it's more the rabbits and the squirrels.
It sounds like a picky eater. No beak, no spleen, you know.
I know.
Well, you could just not let the cat out and they wouldn't bring the cat.
Yeah, that was the next logical step. If you don't
it's okay for him to do that.
Yeah.
A crow is a big bird. How did your cat kill a crow?
I opened the bathroom door.
Don't forget, you might have found a dead crow and picked up.
Must have been a sick one.
Yeah, could be. All right, well, Marcy, thank you for the call. And that wraps up. Wow. How does a cat know what a spleen is? And a mouse spleen can't be very big. That's a smart cat. Very smart. Well, doctor, we'll do this again next week. What do you say?
That sounds wonderful. Right. Thank you.
On a landline. Thank you. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody, on a bad... That phone line. We'll fix that by next week. It's brought to you by Laquid Cab, your AM and the PM cab company. 314-652-3456. I have a guy on the phone. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. I know his name. Let's make sure we got his name right. Your name is Tony Penrod. Is that right, Tony?
Yes, it is, Frank.
Nice to meet you on the phone.
Yeah, you too.
Now, about two or three times a year, we get somebody on that I'm told is a good feet, a very satisfied good feet customer. I'm assuming that's what you are. First of all, let me ask you a couple of questions. What do you do for a living?
Oh, I do a little bit of everything. I do everything from suit and tie work and dress shoes to manual labor and wearing work boots.
Wow. Mm. You're all over the place. So what's your good feet story?
Which one is it?
What's your good feet story? What caused you to go in there?
Well, it's, obviously I've heard the advertisements for a long time.
Yeah.
And I've did exactly what the commercial says. I had everything, and I've tried everything from doctor-prescribed inserts to the things you buy at the drugstore.
Yeah.
And nothing seemed to work. And I've, at the end of the day, my legs and my feet hurt. And so I thought, well, why not? I'll give it a shot. And I went in and talked to the rep there at the Good Feet store, and he told me the program, and he checked me over and it recommended what he thought would help me. And he told me it'd take a little while for it to get settled in. And it did take a little bit of time for it to get settled in, but then one day I just was going to do something, and I thought, wow, that feeling that I've had before my whole life isn't there anymore.
Now, can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 51.
So you're not an old guy.
No.
A lot of people think of this as like, well, real old people, they need arch supports or inserts. No, you don't have to be old at all. And when you say you work everything from suit and tie to work boots, what kind of hard labor do you do?
Oh, from tromping around in junk yards and steel yards to whatever might be the case on rough terrain and rough, rocky surfaces, muddy surfaces, all types of things.
And then when you wear a suit and tie, what are you doing?
Well, in office buildings on carpeted floor and running in and out of buildings.
You got a very interesting work life, I'll say that.
A couple different things I do.
Yeah. So how long have you had the Good Feet inserts?
Oh, I've had them for a couple of months now. Yeah. And I told myself that if they didn't work, I was going to go back in and give them a piece of my mind.
And you haven't had to...
likewise, I said, well, they worked better than I expected, and I wouldn't believe how good they were. So I went back in and told Brian at the Shiloh store how much I liked them, and here I am talking to you.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Tony. You have a family?
I'm divorced.
Yeah. What part of town do you live in?
I live in Shiloh, Illinois.
Oh, okay. That's very convenient since there's a store there. Well, Tony.
Yeah, I've seen it for a while, but I never thought you'd see me going in there.
Yeah, well, a lot of people feel that way because they think, right. Because there's so much that's on the market that's just gimmickry and things to get your money that don't really work, that you're skeptical and you should be. But now you know the truth, and I'm glad you called. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Oh, you're welcome, Frank. Thanks very much.
All right, Tony. Bye-bye.
Good day.
Tony Penrod. Good name.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Penrod. That could be an author. Another new novel from Tony Penrod. That's what it sounds like to me.
He might do that, too.
Now, he said something that was pretty interesting to me. He said it took some time for him to really realize how much relief he was getting. And I always say to people, and I should have asked him this, I'll bet you that right there in the store, he could tell some difference. Because I always say to people, if you can't tell any difference in the store, if you put a good fit insert in, you walk around, same old, same old. I think I'm like most people when I say, I just walk out and say, thanks for trying. But if you can tell a difference, it's certainly not going to come back and get worse. It's probably only going to feel better and better and better. Goodfeed stores, you can go where Tony went in Shiloh, Illinois, Greenmount Road across from Deerberg's. You could go to the Goodfeed store on Olive, which is just west of 270 across from Friday's, or the Goodfeed store in South County on Union Road across from Macy's. One-stop pain relief. The Goodfeed store is goodfeedstlouis.com.
Yeah, we're trying out new formats. Oh my goodness, in the middle of trying out a new format, now where did Tina go?
I'm down here in the traffic center.
Wow, I looked over and you were gone. I thought, where is she? She's in the KTRS traffic center, a must-see if you take a tour. What's going on, Tina?
This just came in. 70 eastbound is closed at Shreve. I guess it's a pretty bad wreck. They closed the highway. They're making everyone exit at Shreve, and traffic is already backed up to Lucas and Hunt. So that's eastbound 70 at Shreve, closed.
I hear a couple of new voices in the traffic. So we hire some
Marilyn and Dottie.
Marilyn and Dottie, welcome. They can't answer. They're busy. Welcome to KTRS and welcome to the traffic center.
Well, he said welcome.
Okay. You can come on. You can come
nodded.
On.
Okay, I'll see you in a minute.
Okay. That traffic center is something else.
Bustling.
Yeah, you have to see that in the weather center. Okay, so everybody knows, I'm sure, and I should have her name, but I don't. This anchor, TV anchor up in La Crosse, Wisconsin. The heavy set woman who got
the just saw the headline. I didn't see.
Let me tell you, Paul Harris, and I talk about what a terrific broadcaster Paul Harris is, and he
good
just,
day.
Yeah, not you. He just backed that up again today. I turn on the radio and I hear Paul talking about this. Well, for those of you who don't know the story, there's a news anchor in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and she's heavy, and she gets an email from a listener telling her how heavy she is, and you're not a very good role model or example, and you ought to consider losing some weight. And by the way, the email was not a mean, hey, you fat pig, how'd you get on TV? It wasn't like that at all. It was very well worded, and it was essentially saying, you know, you might want to think about, is somebody who's on TV setting a better example? Now, hang on, you're shaking
your
head.
But people need to mind their own business.
Okay,
I hate
but they're
stuff
not, but
like
they're
that.
Never going to mind their own
right.
business. They're not going to mind it here. I get
right.
emails from people that hate my guts and tell me I should or shouldn't do this. But here's the point. Paul was the first person that I heard bring up exactly what I agree with and I think, and that is that why her husband, who also works at that TV station, he's the evening anchor, he posts this email on his Facebook page. So he decides to make public what would have just been an email to her, and it would have gone no further, but he decides to expose
that
a listener thinks his wife is heavy. And I'm going to tell you right now why they did it.
Sympathy.
No, publicity. It's overreacting. Think about it. Here's a chick that's on a La Crosse, Wisconsin, population 50,000 people, La Crosse, Wisconsin TV station. Within 24 hours, she's on the Today Show. She's covered by CNN. She's national exposure.
Maybe have a have a chance to move to a bigger market.
Maybe get a shot at a bigger market, and don't think her husband's not thinking about both of their careers. I'm telling you, I think this was a great opportunity to get national exposure and publicity. It's much more about that than it's about her. And she kept using the term bullying. That's not bullying. Mm-hmm. She wasn't bullied. She was criticized. Somebody observed that she was heavy. And I think it would have been much easier for her to have just written that person back and said, well, I appreciate your feedback. I struggle with my weight. Boom, that's the end of it. And I think she made it a bigger deal than it had to be. And you have to understand that I don't necessarily blame her or say that what they did in looking for publicity is wrong. There are a lot of people in the radio business that if we had, however it came about, an opportunity to all of a sudden not just be on KTRS, but the next thing you know, Jane Velez, right? Mitchell,
yeah, like
or whatever
McGraw.
Her name is. McGraw. He got on Nancy Grace's show.
Yeah.
I don't fault people. Hammered her. And look what happened to his career. Oh, wait, nothing.
Wait a minute.
He's still
here.
Oh, wait, didn't work. One. Okay, well, it didn't work that time. Maybe he'll get another shot at it. Now, I got to thinking about this, and I get emails. I don't think I ever go 2 weeks without some really nasty, vicious, rotten email. And what I do is one of two things. I laugh at it and then delete it, or I have a file. And it's called, you know how when you have
labels
you have,
on the
well,
email?
You have yeah. Inbox and you have
right.
Hold, you and can, then you can make your own folder.
Right.
I have a folder in my computer. It's just labeled hate. Hate. And if you could see and read, I probably have 200 that I've saved that are the most hateful, nasty, and I keep them. But the only ones I keep are the ones that are so out there that I actually think one day in the future I may need to go back and retrieve this if this person decides to do something stupid, like take a butcher knife to me or something. So I actually look at those people's emails and look at them as dangerous, deranged nuts. So when you write me and you say, Frank, I can't stand you. I can't believe. You know, I remember I got an email and I saved it. And it remember Dan Dierdorf.
Right.
Did the morning show.
He sent
show.
You an email?
He's
no,
on
no,
the morning
no,
show
no,
right
no,
now.
No.
Yeah.
He was on the morning show. And as soon as he started, I get an email from some nut. And he says, okay, Frank, now you're going to see what it's like to have a real professional in the building. And you're going to be able to compare your, you know, lack of talent to a real broadcaster. You must be crying. You must be so upset that a pro is coming in, is going to make you look even worse. And I just thought, okay, I'm going to save that. Well, the Dan Dierdorf thing came and went, mm-hmm. didn't last. And I've had, most people are smart enough to stop short of a death threat. They're not going to say, I'm going to kill you. Well, when you do that, now you're asking for trouble. Then you bring in the FBI. And I've only had to do that once, bring in literally the FBI, a private detective in the county police, one time in all these years. But when you do what she does, especially TV people get it not just because of what they say, the audio, they got to take criticism of the dress they wear,
right.
The hairdo.
Hair.
Can you imagine being a woman on TV?
No.
What'd you do to your hair, Cindy? Last night on the weather, I like that hairdo better. Who are those people? But they're out there. They're out there. And they just obsess. What I've never understood, and I've said this before, are the people who write you and tell you how much they hate you and then proceed to list all the things you've said over the years that they can't stand, which means they're glued to the show.
Well,
don't
but
listen.
You've admitted that you watched Ally McBeal because you hated that woman.
Guilty? Guilty? Guilty. Ally McBeal, thank you. I forgot about that. That bug-eyed skeleton. What's her name? Calista Flockhart?
Yes.
That, did she marry
Harrison Ford?
Ford
yeah.
Harrison, what are you thinking? Yes, I could not watch that because I hated it so much. But I didn't email her.
That's
I
true.
I didn't write
didn't
to her and go, hey, Calista,
right.
You
I can't stand you. I watched
you
every week.
Skeleton. I didn't write her. I just watched it and couldn't stand it. Let's take a couple of quick calls here. This is Ellen. Ellen, how are you?
Hi, Frank. I'm Amanda in the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I was just going to comment that Jennifer Blome had a very good comment this morning on Channel 5 News when she talked about this email. She said that it makes their effort against bullying look ridiculous, for one, because you're right, it's not bullying.
No.
It's a comment.
No.
And also, Jennifer said, she's like, it would be great if we could all have 4 minutes of live airtime to discuss whatever's on our mind.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I can't believe the national, the other media in this guy gave this woman all this attention. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
But, good, you know, but here, you know what? Ellen, if it were you or me, good for her. We'd take the publicity, too.
Exactly.
All right, thank you.
And
if she does end up getting a bigger job, even if it's out of sympathy or think, well, I like the way you handle that, boom, she wins.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't criticize for somebody for taking an opportunity to get attention and publicity. Hello, Lacey. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine. I'm in the PM.
He's up on the helium. What can we do for you?
Oh, I was just telling the other gentleman that you should. Well, hold on.
Hang on. What gentleman are you talking about?
Yeah.
The one that answered the phone.
No, Dan answered the phone.
Oh, yeah, that's just Dan.
That's not a gentleman.
Yeah.
He was very nice.
Yeah, sure. Now, I'm sorry, what did you say
thanks,
now?
Thanks, Lacey.
What did you just say?
He was very nice.
No, what did you say? What was your comment?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, about other people, how terrible they dress in shopping malls. The spandex, the pants falling down, the underwear showing, the...
Oh, Walmart. People
that
of Walmart.
Heavy and things falling out.
Well, that's another topic, another issue.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay. I like your voice.
All right, thank you.
Helium sounding, though it may be. Thank you, Lacey.
Okay.
Yes, Lacey needs to go to peopleofwalmart.com. It's,
it's
pictures just like that of... pajama pants.
And I hate to say this. I don't really hate to say it. It really is more that way at Walmart than any other store.
Walmart.
What the heck is the deal that sometimes you go to Walmart and it looks like the carnival just let out and they pulled up a carnival bus and these people went in the store. Rich, how are you?
Hey, good. I'm AM and a PM.
Thank you. What's up?
A little side note there. Don't you just love the name Lacey?
I do.
Yeah, and where does Lacey come from? Is that short for something, or is it actual the whole name?
I don't know. I like the name Lacey, and I've never known if it's short for something or not. We should have asked her.
Okay, I just wanted to get back to those 200 ones that you keep on file as being horrific. I can bet you that 90% of those don't even have a return to where you can answer them, people.
Oh, no, they don't. Those are all cowardly, anonymous attacks. And that's the other thing that intrigues me. If somebody is willing to stand behind a comment. Now, in the case of this anchor in La Crosse, the guy let him know who he was, and I applaud him for that. And he was very articulate.
It was more critical than it was facetious.
Yeah, I would say out of a couple of hundred that I have saved in a hate file, maybe three of them let me know who they were.
Exactly.
No, good point. Good point.
All right, you guys have a good day.
Thank you, Rich. Thanks.
Everybody's a tough guy behind a computer.
Now, let me ask you this. On our Facebook page, because I don't look at it that often, do we give people an opportunity? We do, to post comments?
Sure.
See, I'm not a fan of that. Let's say somebody at another radio station who's jealous or whatever, they can come on as, you know, Carolyn Schmuckface and make a comment, and it's nothing more than jealousy.
He's booted him.
I've had to ban people. Right, we don't do negativity on our page.
Good for you. Steve, what's going on?
I'm Eamon PM.
Thank you.
And I've met that Carolyn girl you just mentioned.
Carolyn Schmuckface?
Yeah.
Is she nice?
See, on another radio station.
Yeah, she works there.
There's a program called Car Talk.
Sure.
Well, these guys get hate mail all the time, and they post it on their website to mock these people.
Is this the NPR show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good show.
So that might be something to do with those emails.
Well, then it fuels the fire and causes people to deliberately send out, spew out hate. I don't know.
It gives them exploitation. They probably like it.
Yeah, I don't want to ask for it, but I actually enjoy the rantings of nuts. I do. It's fun to read the writings of a nutcase sometimes.
Well, I think that's why they do it, because some of these things are really funny.
Yeah. All right, Steve.
Okay, see you, bye.
Thank you for the call. Bye-bye.
We don't have a lot of time left, do we?
No, we got to get Bill in here.
American Equity, then we'll get Bill Cleveland in here. 20-year. I got to find out when the 21st anniversary is. I'm sure they'll let us know at American. It's got to be coming up soon. American Equity Mortgage, I know that over 20 years ago, and we're coming up on 21 years, started in St. Louis. Their headquarters is still in St. Louis, although they're in a bunch of other cities. It's funny, if you go to another city, Memphis or Cleveland or wherever they are, you'll find that locally they've captured these phone numbers like area code 212-838-9999. It's kind of funny when you're in another town, you hear American Equity Mortgage, and they have the same sort of pattern to their numbers. The number we want you to know here in town, so that you don't confuse it with any other similar number, is 314-878-9999. American Equity Mortgage. The name tells you what they do. They loan money to people who want to buy houses, to people who have houses but need money for other things. In a nutshell, it's that simple. And as a homeowner, you have a tremendous advantage when it comes to borrowing money because you use the equity to obtain these ridiculously low rates, as low as they were 50 years ago. So you're borrowing smart, not only for the low rate reason, but for the fact it's probably going to also be tax deductible when it becomes part of your house payment. So there you go. The money you need for whatever, borrowed right, the smart way. They'll tell you how it works. They work fast. And if there's anybody who can get you taken care of and get you the lowest rate possible, no matter what your credit rating, it's American Equity Mortgage. 314-878-9999. From downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra. Brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. And now here's Bill Cleveland.
Hey, Bill.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, hey, Bill.
Well, tonight, of course, are the presidential debates. They say the first presidential debate is often crucial and historic, so much so that many Americans are planning to DVR and watch it if they have time after viewing Dancing with the Stars. They can. Mm-hmm. And well, that really bombed, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first three segments of the televised presidential debate will be devoted mostly to President Obama's economic policies. It'll also be the first presidential debate to feature a laugh track. Mitt Romney said President Obama will not be able to fool people in the debates. I'm not so sure. Obama's been working with his new debate coach, David Copperfield. Finally, this afternoon.
This is all debate humor.
This is where it all turns around. Right here.
Yeah. You hope so, anyway. Mm. Well, during the NHL lockout, several players say they plan to play in Europe while it's all going on. It should be pretty enlightening for the Europeans. I've never seen anybody with the teeth worse than theirs.
Oh, no, see, that's good.
Yeah,
he saved it.
Wow.
That's what I do. That's what I do. The Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, of course, and I am Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you, Bill.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Never go wrong with a joke about the teeth or the underarm hair of people in Europe. Women, of course. It's okay if men have it. A great old joke on the way. Don't go away. Stick around. It's 5 o'clock at the Big 550 KTRS.
From ABC News.
Vineyards Playhouse is on the air. Turn the volume up. We've got lots to share. Listen in your car or your underwear. Frank Opinion's on the air.
So join his partners and him.
There's no fun left on
FM. We're full of chat and we're full of chit. And we think you'll get lots of
diarrhea.
Sounds like what it is, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I can't think of a better word, so we'll just go with that one. Leave it like it is. Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the October 3rd edition of Opinions Place, brought to you today by, get ready, American Patriot Beer.
Woohoo!
Uh-huh. Woohoo! Uh-huh. Homer, I know you like beer, Homer. You love this beer.
It's
American Patriot Beer, American owned, American brewed, American Patriot Beer. I'll tell you some things you might not have known about American Patriot Beer.
After a round of introductions. At the control board, it's Eon the Peon. Peon, say hi to your sponsor.
I would like to say hi and thanks to Mark and Jason. They are financial advisors with Stifel Nicolaus. And with costs going up, you need to have a strategy in place to give yourself pay raises. Mark and Jason can help you achieve that. For their phone number and more, go to
markandjason.com.
Hello to the chicks.
I give you Tina Dalpiez. Tina, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Dan Strauss in the house with his trouser mouse. Dan, how's it going?
I'm upset.
Why?
I hit the wrong button on the snack machine. I was going for peanut M&Ms, and I hit the wrong button and got Skittles.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't like Skittles.
Yeah.
But I love peanut M&Ms. Hebe Jimenez is in charge of security.
After you eat Skittles, though, you can do that spit where it hangs and you can suck it back up. Have you ever done that before?
No, that's disgusting.
You know, stop the music for a second. I said I don't like Skittles, but now I think about it, I don't even know if I've ever had Skittles.
Oh, really?
I don't think I've ever tasted it.
Chewy, sour candy?
No, they sound bad.
But they make your spit turn into a bungee cord.
Well, then I got to get some.
You want to try some?
No, thank you.
I can't spit anyway.
Thank you. Why?
I don't know. I have no projectile.
You're unable to spit, so you have to swallow?
Wow.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm afraid
man,
so.
Boy.
Can't spit.
Darn. Oh, darn.
Oh, well. Bernice is in heaven.
You horse is kind, yeah.
Well, leave a note.
What?
Oh, rat boy, he hates the vending machine.
Oh.
He lost some money in there, and he didn't get your what-its?
Cheez-its.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Two times in there.
Give it up, if you would, for Bruce Limpurst and the All Boy Orchestra.
Yo!
Yo, yeah!
Woohoo!
Thank you. Thank you. About 2.5, 3 months ago, I had a meeting with Mr. Beal. John Beal. And he told me about this beer, this American Patriot beer that he was behind and that he'd been working on for, my goodness, 4 years. And as soon as the InBev news hit and we realized we lost a great, you know, St. Louis and American tradition, not just a beer, he went on this mission and that he was going to fix that. So we met, we talked, we met a couple of times, and I said, before I can talk about the beer, like anything else I speak, I have to like it. It's a good way to get free beer, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took about, 4 6-packs of American Patriot home, 2 regular and 2 light. Now, I will tell you, I am not a big beer drinker. If I'm hot and the beer's cold and the mug is frosted, I'll have 1, maybe 2. I don't think I've ever had 3 beers in a row. But I will drink a good beer. But it has to be a light beer. It cannot be bitter, and it can't bite. Now, I'm not one of these people that can drink a stout, a Guinness, or any of these wheat. They're bitter to me. So I took it home, and I had my wife drink some, and I drank some. And we both agreed it was really, really good. And I know that when people describe beer, they all say the same thing. Well, it's clean, and it's crisp. I don't know what that means. They all say that. Clean, crisp, smooth. Well, here, it was good. It had a great taste and a good color. You never hear people talk about the color of beer, but I'm going to tell you right now, you can hold a beer up, and if I see the color, I can almost always tell you if I'm going to like it or not. That's kind of the same thing with wine. So I liked it, but we couldn't come to terms. The negotiation kind of fell apart. Well, I'm here to tell you that we have come to terms, and the negotiation hurdle has been crossed, and I'm more than happy to tell you about American Patriot beer. There's a publication in St. Louis called Town and Style Magazine. It's kind of like the Ladue News. And in the recent edition, they do an interview with a young Mr. Bush of the Bush family, who has also decided to put out a beer. And in the interview, he says, if you want an American beer, you have no choice. We're the only one that is American-owned. No? Now, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume this interview was done about 3 months ago before it hit this publication. That is not true. And by the way, this American Patriot beer is absolutely 100% American-owned. It is brewed here in the United States of America. everything from the labeling to the cardboard of the six-pack, it's all from America. Now, that may or may not be important to you. You may be a person who likes a good beer from Mexico. And fine, we want you to try it too, because if what you're really interested in is not so much that it's American, but taste, well, we win on both those fronts, the American front and the taste front. It is really good beer. Saying that, I also realize there are people who like bitter, strong beer. This may not be the beer for you. The other thing I find interesting is, and I've seen the American Patriot commercial on TV, and they talk about a great lager, and I hear other people talk about lager. I asked about 15 people the last 2 or 3 weeks, what is a lager? Not one of them had any idea what that means. So we're going to tell you what it means. A lager beer is a beer that's fermented and conditioned in low temperatures, cold temperatures. That's what a lager is. Now, what that does to the taste, I don't know. Barley, grain, hops, I don't know. All I know is when I tip something up and take a taste of it, I either want to spit it out because it's horrible, or I go, wow, this is really good, and this is a good beer. One other thing I just want a little idea I want to plant in your heads. Next time you go to the store and you want to pick up beer, which, by the way, you can get this at Deerberg, Schnucks, Shop and Save, Quick Trip, Mobile on the Run, and more places to come. But when you go in and you see American Patriot, I want you to think about something. Years ago, we had Thomas Coffee on the air. We had him on the air for 8 years. And when they started with us, they were having a little tough time moving Thomas Coffee, getting people to try Thomas Coffee. And I'm really proud of the fact that in 8 years, we moved a lot of coffee. But you know what finally did it, what caused that coffee to start flying off the shelves, is that one day, it just occurred to me to say something to the listeners that struck. It hit the hot button, and it was this. And the same thing is true, by the way. And Thomas is not with us anymore because I don't even know who owns it. The company was sold. I don't even know who owns it. I don't even know if it's still around or if it's any good anymore. But what I said is true of beer. You folks who drink beer and drink coffee and smoke cigarettes are creatures of habit. You buy the same beer, the same coffee, and the same pack of cigarettes all the time. Give me Marlboro. Give me whatever. Folgers. You don't. Rarely do you ever just try something else. I'm going to ask you just once to pick up American Patriot beer. And my guess is you'll pick it up again. If you don't like it, I don't even have to tell you this. If you don't like it, don't buy it again. But that's all we're asking. Same thing we used to ask of coffee, because that's another, you know, habitual purchase out of habit. Break the habit. Whatever you're drinking, I think you're going to be very pleasantly surprised. You'll feel good about the American aspect of it, and you'll feel even better about the way it tastes. American Patriot beer. If you want to know more about the beer and everything that's involved in making it, you can go to their website, AmericanPatriotBeer.com. Proud to welcome. Comes in regular, comes in light. Proud to welcome American Patriot Beer to the show. Last night on ESPN, there was a documentary called Broke. It's part of a series called 30 on 30. I don't know what that means, 30 on 30, but I heard Paul Harvey talking about it. He sat in for McGraw.
No, Paul Harris.
What is it?
Paul Harris.
Yeah. And when I heard him, I thought, okay, I'm going to record this, and I did. And what it was a documentary on professional athletes and how many of them end up broke and how they go through their money. And I just jotted down a couple of what I thought were really interesting stats. Listen to this. By the time they have been retired for 2 years, 78% of NFL players are bankrupt or in serious financial trouble.
Wow.
78% after 2 years of retirement from the NFL. Check this out. Within 5 years of retirement, 60% of former NBA players are broke. 60% within 5 years of retirement. The average salary of a Major League Baseball player in 1967 was $19,000 a year. The average salary today of a Major League Baseball player, $3.2
million. Quite a difference.
Yeah.
Well, inflation. Well, I mean, yeah. We have
forget
inflation.
Yeah, right? If it were adjusted like everything else for inflation, 19,000 might be 60,000. Okay. Not 3.2 million. It was pretty interesting stuff. And they interviewed on camera some of these people, and I recognized some of their names, former quarterbacks and a couple of basketball players. And they just, you know, they'd say, you know, one guy says, I got my first paycheck, and I looked at it, and I'd never seen that much money in my life, and I didn't even know, what do you do with that kind of money? And he thought, oh, and then I thought of some things. I'll buy a Lamborghini, and I'm going to buy my parents a house, and I'm going to buy a place in Florida. And the next thing you know, they realize nobody ever told them about income tax or about agent fees or manager fees,
lawyer fees,
travel expenses, account. And the next thing you know, they're in deep doo-doo. And one of these guys, I forgot which one it was, had an IRS bill of something like $18 million.
Oh.
And he didn't have the money to pay. They just fall into all this money literally overnight. And they don't know how to deal. It was very, very interesting. I want to say hello to Dr. Ramona Bashad. I had to go to the dermatologist today. Let me tell you something. If you're young, I'm going to let you in on something. When you get old, things grow on you.
Mm.
You just start having things appear. You look at yourself in the mirror and you go, where'd that come from? What is that?
Is this your skin tag you were talking about yesterday?
Yeah. And then you wonder, oh, is that a cancer or is that just some goofy looking thing?
Rice Krispie.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. But yeah. You hear these horror stories about, well, he was 50 years old and he died of melanoma. He had a thing on his skin and he ignored it and a little bitty spot killed him. So then you start freaking out. So I go to this Dr. Haruza's office today. I didn't see him, but I saw Dr. Ramona Bashad. She's so beautiful that I was embarrassed to be in her presence because I feel like when I'm in a room with somebody that pretty, and what made it worse was the girl with her, Amy, I think was her name, was also beautiful.
At least the thing wasn't on your butt.
Well, you're getting to an important part of what I'm about to share with you.
Do people ever get Rice Krispies on their butt?
Oh, people get stuff, I'm sure, on their butts. But here's the deal. If you've never been to a dermatologist, it's the brightest, most fluorescent office in the world because they have to see every. So it's that horrible, uncomfortable fluorescent lighting. I'm not Brad Pitt, all right? And you're in a room with two beautiful women, and you're an old guy with a bunch of stuff growing on his skin. So she looks at it and says, okay, you know, we'll liquid nitrogen and zap it off of there. And then I had a thing on my shoulder, and my wife has been driving me, you better get that looked at. And every one of you guys know what I'm talking about. Your wife, this is why you don't let your wife see you without any clothes on, because they're going to find something to criticize.
Yeah. Well, you
better get that looked at.
Yes.
So I had a mole on my shoulder. So they sliced that off or burned it off or whatever they did. And then she says, do you want like a full body check?
Oh, full body check.
I said no. And the reason I said no, I could not take my shirt off in front of these two hot, good-looking. I couldn't do it.
Well, what about your pants?
I was humiliated. I felt, look, if I look like Matthew McConaughey, I'd have gone in without a shirt. I'd have driven there without a shirt.
Or if it was some old geezer doctor.
Yes, an old hag woman. And I'm going to request, when I do go in for the full body check, do you have an old hag working there? I want her. Give me your ugliest, oldest person, because I won't feel as out of place.
What about a
male
doctor?
But, you know, nothing's really going to happen, so what
the heck?
That's
not the point. You're just humiliated. You're embarrassed. And
might get a fondle or a
no,
feel
no,
or
no,
something.
No, 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 no. And you know that when you walk out of there, they're laughing. And, oh, you see that guy? But
tell me you have
wonderful.
A bunch of stuff on your Weezer that you want to have checked out.
Yeah.
Well, then the laughing would really start.
Like
no, they were wonderful. And this Dr. Bashad, Ramona, she's as pretty as her name. What a pretty name.
You can
Ramona
only see it
Bashad.
When he's chubbed up.
Yeah. Oh, that's a little, that's a, one of those little tags down there. Oh, no, it's not.
Every guy who's like, you know, middle age, older, they, you know what I'm talking about. You just, your days of, hey, look at me without a shirt, they ended a long time ago. It's just humiliating. And I hate that, you know, if we didn't have all this media scaring us to death, oh, you better have this looked at, you better have that looked, this could be your colon cancer, this could be melanoma. If we didn't have to be scared to death of everything, just let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. Just a spot. What else? What else? What else? What else? This is, oh, Jim Weaver. Thank you so much, Jim. Jim Weaver has made up some American AM, AM, then American, which is American, and the PM-inspired T-shirts. And he says the shirts are available only at the What I Say USA location at Mid Rivers Mall in front of Hallmark.
Wow.
Specially priced for AM and the PM is at $10.99. All the other shirts are $14.99. They're white T-shirts, and in red,
nice.
White, and blue,
yeah.
They have, what does it say, Dan? AM and the PM.
Here, I got
hold
one
it
right
up here.
Here.
Tina's got one.
American and the PM vote.
Well,
your
American,
opinion.
The AM and American, it's AM, and it says American and the PM vote your opinion in red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Good job. Mid Rivers Mall, across from Hallmark. Thank you, Jim. Those are very, very nice. Dear Frank, could you please ask Dawn Meadows-Dixon if there's anything offensive in Argo? I teach a world government class to high school seniors. They've asked to see it. We just finished our unit on Iran and Iranian hostage situation. Thank you for any advice Dawn can give us. Will you help me remember tomorrow?
On the trailer,
I would think
the only thing I saw was they show several people lined up with bags over their head in front of a firing squad.
See, I don't know what she means by offensive.
Yeah,
language.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I don't know what that means. Well, remind me, we'll ask her tomorrow. We'll ask Dawn Meadows-Dixon about Argo tomorrow. Dear Frank, I heard you saying you wonder sometimes how much people make for what they do, like backup singers. And I do wonder that. I think that's something normal to wonder about. John, who sent me this email, he says, I heard about the guy that played the guitar riff for the Bond theme. Everybody knows it. Everybody's heard it. Go ahead, play it, Peon. Everybody's heard this for 50 years. We've heard it. 50 years. I'll tell you when it's coming. Right here. That riff is played by a guy named Vic Flick. That's his name. He did it 50 years ago as a studio musician. The James Bond theme, this thing right here, is the main signature theme of the Bond films and has been featured in every James Bond film since Dr. No. It's been used as an accompanying fanfare to the gun barrel sequence in almost every James Bond film. It uses a surf rock guitar, surf rock style guitar riff. Dan, you're a guitar player. I don't know what that means. Surf rock style guitar riff.
Well, you can hear
yeah,
it.
Like yeah, like the Ventures and all
yeah.
those surf.
And
like
it the says at the time of the like film's that. First release, surf rock was a big craze in guitar sound. It says the 007 theme is one of the most famous themes in movie history. The infamous guitar riff gives the theme sort of a secret agent feel that was performed by Vic Flick. Mr. Flick says he can imagine that John Barry and composer Monty Norman have made a fortune off the James Bond theme. He was a studio musician. He was paid for this that's been used 50 years. He was paid $15.
Oh. $15? Wow.
But that is not unusual. Studio musicians get a flat rate, and 50 years ago, $15 for an hour in the studio or whatever, that's the way it was. You sign off,
yeah.
And you agree to take
and
that.
And he had no idea.
Oh, my goodness, how could you ever have an idea? But he says he's not bitter. He said he doesn't get royalty checks.
You know what, though? I mean, how much money they made with that series, they should kick the guy a little something, you know?
Well, it says he has recently started to get some checks, and he's also been asked to perform the
oh, really?
This Friday in L.A. at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Yeah, oh, so he's not going to do a full concert.
It's like the 50th anniversary of
yeah, so James Bond. He's getting a little recognition. But, you know, I don't care how much somebody says, oh, I'm not bitter. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. It's kind of like the people that were in those Our Gang comedies and stuff. They see that they're running on TV 50 years later, and that syndicators are making a fortune, and here you are, Spanky or somebody, and you've got $300.
Broke.
Yeah, you're broke. You've been evicted from your house. Of course, you're bitter. I just want to acknowledge lady named Darlene Marcus. She doesn't live around here, but what she's done is pretty remarkable. She lives in Idaho. She delivers the Idaho Press Tribune. She's a paper carrier, and she has been a paper carrier for 54 years. She holds the record for delivering papers longer than anybody. She's 83 years old. Last Sunday was her last paper delivery. 83, 54 years, every day, getting up, delivering papers from 1 to 4 in the morning.
Wow.
For 54 years. As a former paper boy, I salute Darlene Marcus. My paper route had 36 papers, 36 homes. That was it. And, man, I thought I was wealthy. And they were 6 cents apiece. Do the math. I made no money. Ladies, get in here, please.
Ooh, that's nice.
I dedicate this to all couples who've been married, let's say at least 30 years. The couple lying in bed, married about 30 years. They're watching TV in bed. And it's one of those rainy nights where out the window, it's the perfect spring, summer-like shower. You know those perfect rains. Mm-hmm. Watching TV in bed, nice and cool. And she notices his hand. He's on the left side of the bed, she's on the right, and his right hand works its way behind her neck and then works its way down her neck into the small of her back and then around her waist to her stomach and up between her breasts.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he moves his hand down onto her left arm to the side of her breast, down underneath, caressing her left buttock, and then down her leg to her calf, and then to her inner thigh, and then the uppermost portion of the inner thigh.
Yeah.
And then he stops and kind of moves away from her. And she looks at him and she says, "That was so wonderful. I am so aroused. Why did you stop?" He said, "I found the remote."
Tiny bubble,
oh, tiny bubble,
in the wine.
I think they're just ending the streak of heat out in Southern California, upper 90s, 100s. Going to settle down for fall now. We'll find out. We'll check in with Mike Evans. He's brought to you by Thompson Price, Kitchens, Baths, Home. ThompsonPrice.com is the website. We would love it if you'd check it out. Better yet, check out their showroom in De Pere, about a half mile east of 270 in the shopping center with TJ Maxx, right next to McAllister's Deli. Thompson Price, ThompsonPrice.com. And here is Mike Evans.
Give it in.
Good morning, everybody.
It's not morning.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody.
There you go.
Is that better?
That's better.
Okay. We start off with a pop quiz question. Simon Cowell is obsessed with looking young. Every morning, what does Simon rub all over his face? Livestock after birth?
Oh, no.
Bee venom?
Ew.
Or fish eggs?
Oh.
Answer in just a minute. Hey, by now you know a big story certainly is Nicki Minaj going all gangster on Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey may be just as big a problem. I know somebody in Charlotte. I will have a lot more of scoop on this and how this thing is playing out today and this evening as American Idol continues. But, boy, it is a mess, and we'll have a lot more on this story for you tomorrow.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you think it's not possible that because they need ratings and a bump, this could all be staged?
I don't think they like each
other. They hate each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
They absolutely hate each other.
Well, even if it's not staged, it's good for ratings.
It's great TV, but I think this thing could turn into a total disaster.
That'd be great.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Speaking of Simon Cowell, you know, this is just my opinion, but adding Khloe Kardashian and Mario Lopez as co-hosts to X Factor, I don't think will do anything for the ratings. Who cares?
No.
I don't get it. More TV news. NBC has decided not to reboot the old Munster show.
Oh, good.
Couldn't find anybody as good as Fred Gwynne. They were hoping to maybe get it done with Brad Garrett.
Oh, he would be perfect for
it. But he wouldn't do it, so they just sort of decided not to. Boardwalk Empire, my homeboy. Did you watch it, by the way?
Yes.
I did, too, last night. It was good.
You know who scares me? Half-Face.
Half-Face. Well, you know what I don't understand is how come Half-Face went into Nookie and brought that guy in and made the guy said he killed that guy when he really didn't, and then he said, no, I know he didn't do it because I did it. Well, why did he do that?
Because he's crazy.
He's nuts.
Yeah, and folks, this Boardwalk Empire has two nutcases in it that it's worth watching the show just for these two people. One is a guy who's half his face is blown off, and he wears sort of a goofy bad mask like Phantom of the Opera.
I like the mask, though. Of course, this is in the early 1900s.
That's the best they could do. And the other guy is a former FBI agent who now sells irons to women.
Mike Shannon, you know he's going to end up going to work for that florist that he accidentally helped out.
Yeah, we'll say no more because the people who don't watch, they're getting all bent out of shape going, I don't know what you're talking about. Boardwalk Empire.
One more thing real quick, though.
Sure.
This guy that is really mean, you say, hey, good luck, and he loses it. What's up with that guy? Hey, have a nice day. Good luck. What do you mean by that? Yeah,
Paul Harvey said to me today, he said, Harris, I'm sorry. He said, you have to watch the first season of Breaking Bad. He said, Breaking Bad is such a great show. So I would say to anybody the same thing about Boardwalk Empire. Get the first season.
Boardwalk Empire renewed yesterday for another year.
There you go. Beautiful.
The old TV show, Little House on the Prairie, is going to be made into a movie.
That could be good.
Uh-huh. TV review. If you've ever flown, and certainly everybody listening has flown, you have got to watch Curiosity on the Discovery Channel on Sunday. A crew of six flies a 727, then parachutes out of the 727 jet. Then 25 cameras are turned on, captures the dummy passengers inside the jet as it crashes into the desert. It answers questions like, where's the safest place to sit and all that stuff? Should you be braced? But more interesting is just those several minutes as that plane goes down. I mean, you feel like you're in it. I mean, it's amazing. Four stars being inside a jet as it actually crashes. It is amazing.
All right, now, one quick thing. You said we've all flown. And I have to tell you, you and I and a lot of people like us forget that there are a lot of people who've never flown. The reason I mention this, next month, my family, once a year, we all get together, my daughter, my sons. It's hard to do. It takes a lot of planning, but we're going again this year to Las Vegas. My older son is going to take his girlfriend. She has never been on an airplane. Can you imagine how excited it would be to not only take your first flight, but then land in Las Vegas?
That is amazing.
Yeah. Well, our first trip to Jamaica, that was the first time I had flown since I was like three, and I didn't remember it at all.
Yeah, so. It was essentially your first flight. Yeah.
You know what? Flying your first flight, flying and landing in Hawaii. Can you imagine that?
No, nobody can but you.
Love Nuggets, John Mellencamp and Meg Ryan. She looks great now.
Oh, really?
Okay, we'll take your word for it.
Did she deflate those lips?
Yeah, they sort of shrunk down in a regular size.
That's good.
They're planning their wedding.
Oh.
Beautiful.
I hear George Clooney and Stacey Keibler are breaking up.
No.
It's sad.
This is perfect. The Beautiful and the Dumb, Ryan Lochte and model Kate Upton.
Oh, no. Please don't tell me.
You know Kate Upton, don't you?
Yes.
What do you think of Kate Upton?
I think she had that song, Upton Girl.
No. She is hot, and she's got those melons.
I used to date years ago, the Playmate Centerfold. Better looking than Kate Upton.
I think we Googled her after you told her.
Lisa
told
Pedriano.
Us your name, yeah.
Lochte and Kate Upton are going to go out on a date. This is two of the dumbest people you've ever met. Lochte, of course, doesn't know which end of a microphone to talk into.
Yeah.
She was asked about being sexy. I love this quote. Kate Upton says, quote, to me, being sexy is looking like you are having a good time.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm having a good time when I'm eating spaghetti, but I don't think anybody's going to find that sexy. A couple of odds and ends. Prince William believes Russell Brand's the funniest man on earth.
Well, he's on drugs.
Prince William's wife, Kate Middleton,
yeah,
thinks that Russell Brand is the dumbest man on earth.
I'm with her.
Rumor, that Tom Cruise may be pulling out of the Church of Scientology.
That would be big.
That's a big story floating around. And I have learned from an impeccable source that when Barack Obama is away from the White House, Michelle Obama shares her bed with another male. His name is Bo. It's not Joe Biden's son, Bo. It's their dog. Bo, that's his name.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. He's a nice-looking dog, too, when he's a Portuguese water dog. Portuguese water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call him.
Yeah.
Big black dog, pretty dog. Mm-hmm. And finally.
No.
Be brave when it comes to this part because it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Cowell and a lot of people don't know this. Franco Pinion, obsessed with looking young.
That's right.
Every morning, what do they put on their all over their face? Livestock, afterbirth, bee venom, or fish eggs?
Tina.
I'll go with bee venom.
I'm going to go the afterbirth.
Afterbirth.
I'll go with the least disgusting one, bee venom.
You know, actually, Frank O has beautiful skin.
Thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful skin.
Mike,
that sounds
gay.
Man. A little bit gay.
Simon Cowell rubs livestock afterbirth.
Yeah.
Mike Evans, see you.
You know, haven't they always said, and I'm not kidding about this, that a particular fluid for men was good for women's skin?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah. Isn't that supposed to be true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think I look so young?
That's what I keep trying to tell them.
Want to take 10 years off?
Yeah.
Mike Evans, brought to you by Thompson Price Kitchens, Baths Home, thompsonprice.com. 70 years. This is the 70th anniversary of Matheny Heating and Cooling. That's a long time to be in business. I guess after you hit 30, 40 years, you kind of, we made it. But then if you're a lot of people then get complacent. They get lazy. They think they can just coast. Can't do that. You have to stay up on the latest technology in heating and cooling. Their technicians at Matheny Heating and Cooling are licensed and certified, and they all take continuing education courses to stay at the top of their game, and they are factory trained by every factory that makes every kind of heating and cooling unit. If you want a quote on a new system, they will send a Matheny estimator out. They will do a complete heat loss, heat gain survey. It's not just a matter of we'll pull this out and put another one in. You've got to make sure that the new unit will be able to do what it's supposed to do. You will be under no pressure to sign a contract. They'll follow up. They'll stay in touch. Their service people are not salespeople. They're not going to come to your house and, well, you know I'm here to fix this Johnson valve, but you might want to consider a new unit. They're not going to put that kind of pressure on you. They're never going to be the cheapest. They're not going to be the most expensive. You never want anybody in the heating cooling business who will say, well, whatever it is, we'll do it for less than anybody else. Send those people packing. You also don't want to overpay. And then something nobody else gets to take advantage of but you for being AM and the PM, and that is 15% off your first service call. Be sure to tell the person from Matheny who comes out that you're AM and the PM. They will take 15% off the first call, and they will take 15% off the plan service agreement. A lot of reasons to at least try Matheny Heating and Cooling. Give them a try. Don't think you'll ever need to call anybody else. MatheneyHeatingandCooling.com.